everybody. Welcome to Magic the Amateuring, a podcast for people with heads, with feet, with anything in between.
This is episode 197, which is nearly 200, but not.
It's three off.
Three away from big 200, and not to tease it too much, but it's going to be one spoop of a show.
Four if you count this episode and episode 200. Three if you count this episode but not episode 200. And two if you don't count this episode and don't count episode 200.
And 10 if you don't count just some random other episodes that we've done over the course of time.
Really, you can make it as many episodes as you want between now and episode 200 if you're just listening to things non-sequentially, repetitively, or otherwise.
Yeah, so episode 200 is going to be a big party. We don't quite want to spoil the surprise yet, but we're not there yet. Episode 197. We've got a super sweet show for you today. My brain almost leaked out my ears there. We're going to be talking about casual formats in For the Noobs. That means formats that you can play just with your friends. Pick up a bud, pick up a magic deck, and play some games.
Yep, we're also going to be talking about a little bit more about the Fearless Magic Inventory that we talked about last week. We have a couple of updates. A little bit more about GP Dallas, which is coming up this weekend. What happened in Standard last weekend? Hint, people got pretty delirious. Some drafting and a Flavor Text Theater throwback.
Yeah, is Megan still playing elves at this, at Dallas?
Well, you're just going to have to keep listening to find out.
Before we start the show, we have some people to thank. Number one, of course, is you, the listeners, who support us on patreon.com/mtacast. Thank you so much to everybody who's chosen to support the show and join the Less Than 1% Club. Our numbers keep growing, and it's wonderful to see all these new members of our magical family joining us every week.
Thank you so much as well to our sponsor, Card Kingdom, cardkingdom.com/MTACast. You can go there to pick up singles, to pick up boosters, to pick up just about anything that you need to play a sick game of Magic.
Have you seen their website recently? It is a work of art.
That's right. And we promise that you will have a new best friend if you order from them.
You will have a new best friend, and you will find more satisfaction in your job than you do currently.
There you go. You can't really ask for more than that.
Cardkingdom.com/MTACast, a great place to go to buy anything you need related to Magic. Of course, if you want a Magic the Amateuring shirt or playmat, well, you've got to go to magictheamateuring.com for those. But Cardkingdom.com, it's got everything else you could possibly ever want in your life, including a new friend. Casual formats.
Hey everybody, this was one of the topics suggested by Patreon supporter Kirill Kogan.
Thank you so much.
So he asked us to talk about any and all casual formats or ways to play Magic that aren't at a tournament or other sanctioned event.
Are you sick of Standard breathing down your neck and saying, play me?
Are you tired of Modern showing up in your backyard with a boombox asking you to take it back?
Are you sick of Draft texting you at 3 a.m. saying, are you up? Question mark.
Man, are you just so over Legacy, you know, just calling you and then pretending to be someone else just so they can hear your voice?
Are you sick and tired of Vintage contacting your parents and saying, wasn't I a great partner?
If you answered yes to any of those questions, one, you might have legal recourse. Two, we've got some casual formats for you.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of formats that you don't see in sanctioned play in Magic, and you've probably played some of them. Some of them you probably haven't. So we're going to go through a whole bunch of them and just kind of give you a lowdown on what's what with some of them.
Yep. So the first one is EDH or Commander, which we have talked about before. There are lots of lovely podcasts and websites and other things dedicated to the art of Commandering.
And it is an art.
It really is. It's 100-card singleton multiplayer format that you can have politics. You have a commander and a command zone. Yeah. You have, you know, all sorts of other things. So Commander, obviously, a great choice. Conspiracy, which is the draft option of Commander, where you can draft and then have a multiplayer format. So if you love Commander and you love drafting, boom, conspiracies for you.
Yeah, so Commander is one that, you know, that we haven't played a whole ton of before, but it's extraordinarily popular. And Commander 2016 is a new product that Wizards just released recently. They'll release new Commander product with new commanders, which if it's a legendary creature, guess what? It can be your commander. Mm-hmm. Some of these new commanders have a bonus in that they have partner on them, so you can have two commanders if both of them have partner. So that's a spicy new change in Commander.
Yep. Commander and Conspiracy are both kind of unique in that you can usually find stores that have specific nights or specific events for them. So it's a casual format, but you're still going to be able to go to a store and find a time to play that if you don't have like a play group or a person that you're playing with already.
So something that people like about Commander that you don't necessarily always get to experience in Standard or Draft is being able to build a deck that you think represents you as a human being.
That's right. Hey, do you feel like you're represented by a picture of a boat that lets you draw three cards? Guess what? In Commander, you can play one of those suckers.
It can't be your commander until, as I predicted correctly, in the future, the rules change to allow cards like Treasure Cruise to be your commander.
That's right. It's not legendary, and it's not even a permanent, but gosh darn it. Someday it will be my commander.
The thing is, you could like, if you're like, I love attacking, guess what? You can make your commander deck all about that. If you're like, I love just like murdering myself, well, you could make Phage the Untouchable your commander, you know, mm-hmm. like nobody's telling you you can't.
No.
So if you like the idea of getting, say, like three or four of your friends together and playing a game of Magic and just kind of figuring out, that's what Megan was talking about, you for their politics, like who are you going to attack? Who are you going to save? What kind of deals are you going to broker? Then Commander might just be the game for you.
Yep. In Commander groups, if you go to a store, then you're going to kind of have to work out like what the you know, like attitude is like at that store for Commander games. And if you're playing with a group of friends, then amongst yourselves, you can kind of decide, are you all going to have like kind of goofy decks? Or are you all going to show up with like spiky decks that are going to try and win? Because it's different from group to group, and you can kind of, your group can shape into whatever kind of commander group it wants to be, which is also cool and nice flexibility.
Yeah, and like we said, if you like drafting, then Conspiracy is a good option, and you've got a couple of Conspiracy sets to choose from. Recently, we saw Conspiracy Take the Crown, which was a lot of fun, and the box comes with a tiny little crown that you can make
which
and
is wear. Cool.
That's great. You get to be the monarch in real life with a tiny paper crown. Conspiracy is a fun way to live both the draft life and the commander life in one, because really, who can choose?
The next casual format we're going to talk about is Pauper. Pauper means only commons, and it's the same otherwise in terms of constructed deck rules. So 60 cards, 15 card sideboard, only up to 4 copies of a certain kind of card, but you do get to use only commons, which is pretty cool. Although right now, Peregrine Drake is really, from what I hear, just tearing it up in Pauper.
Yeah, Pauper does have a banned list.
Yes.
That is maintained.
Which will soon maybe have another addition to it.
Is Treasure Cruise banned or restricted in Pauper?
I don't know.
Because that seems pretty powerful too. That's the thing, like, you're like, Pauper, that can't be that powerful, but
it can do some stupid powerful things.
Yeah.
And that, again, like each of these casual formats has something unique going for it. Pauper is available on Magic Online. There are Pauper leagues and Pauper queues that you can play in. And you might also have a store that has some sort of Pauper situation.
Pauper. Come on down.
So you might also have a kingdom that has a Pauper situation.
Pauper.
In which case you need to take it up with, you know, what the ruling class.
A Pauper situation.
Of course, I would probably be someone who would frame a Pauper situation as more of an aristocracy situation.
Yeah, this sounds like the French Revolution, a Pauper situation.
Yeah.
So yes, Treasure Cruise is banned in Pauper.
Oh, figures.
Yeah, they just don't want us to have any fun. Grape Shot also banned because that seems like it could get broken really, really quick. Cranial Plating, that's a common. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's banned. So yeah, Empty the Warren's Storm as well. So there are cards that are banned. So Pauper is a format that is being groomed, as it were, to maintain its integrity and still be fun for everybody to play.
Yeah, and people do get competitive about Pauper. It is a format that is played competitively. Again, there are like leagues online. You can find events in stores. So if you don't want to invest just like an absurd amount of money in a deck, but you are still consider yourself like a spiky player and you want to go and try and win things, Pauper might be the casual format for you, man.
Yeah, and if a card notably is uncommon in one printing and common in another printing, you can still use the common printing. It counts. So yeah, Pauper, Tolarian Community College, where you are watching this video right now, if you're watching it with your eyeballs, has lots of great Pauper videos and some deck techs for you if you're interested in getting into the format.
Yeah. Now we're getting into some limited casual formats, which is obviously right in our wheelhouse because we are all about the limited, yo.
Yeah.
First of all, we have Pack Wars, which we haven't played in ages, but we used to play all the time.
Oh my god!
Pack
now you want to
be great, man.
I want to play Pack Wars now.
Yeah, so Pack Wars is just where you and your friend have each a pack of cards. You crack it, you shuffle in some lands, and then you play.
And you play.
Then you play. It's really easy to deck yourself.
You want like what is it? Four of each land?
Is it? I think it's. Or is it three or four?
It's one of the two.
I don't remember off the top of my
head.
Here's
a tip if you're playing Pack Wars. You want to be on the draw, number one.
Yeah.
Because getting out fast and early is not necessarily what you're going to be able to do.
Three of each basic land.
Okay, three of each basic land. you want that extra card big time. Big time. But it's just so fun because, like, you can play it in between rounds.
Yeah.
You know, at a tournament, if you just have a random pack laying around, they're like, oh, I have a random pack. Let's play a quick game of Pack Wars.
Yeah. If you are looking to get, like, the experience of draft, but you only have one other person that you're playing with, you can always try out a Winston draft.
Yeah, Winston Draft is actually pretty fun. I've only played it, I think, twice in my entire life, but it's a kind of a neat draft experience because what you're doing is, what do? You take three cards of...
You take three packs.
Three packs.
And you shuffle them all together.
That's
right. Wait, no, it's three packs each. So it's three packs each, you shuffle them together, so it's six packs total.
Okay. And then you put them into piles.
Yes.
Oh man, it's been too long.
Yeah. So here, I'll read the
okay.
the explanation.
Okay.
The two players each supply three booster packs, which they open without looking at them, and then shuffle all six packs together. So you have one pool of 90 cards. And then you decide who will be player A and player B through a die roll. So player A drafts first, and then player B gets to choose whether they want to play first during the games.
Yeah.
To begin drafting, player A sets the top three cards from the main pile in three stacks face down on the table without looking at them. Player A then looks at the card in the first pile and chooses either to draft it or leave it. If they draft it, then they replace it with the top card of the main stack. And if they leave it, then the top card of the main stack is put on top of it, making a two-card pile. And then you repeat the process with the second pile and then the third pile.
Yeah.
And then you just keep going.
Then you've got some decks. And sometimes a pile will end up being huge and you just get like a billion cards from it. But sometimes you don't want those billion cards.
Because they're all bad.
They're all just a pile. It's a literal pile.
So if that explanation was confusing, which I would understand, you can also just Google Magic Winston Draft and you can get some more clear explanation and rules surrounding that format. But again, if you want a fun drafting experience and not just a play experience for limited, but with only one other person, that's a pretty sick way to go.
I just gave you your next date night. You're welcome. A glass of wine and a Winston draft. What more do you need?
Obviously, we also have Cube. There are 1 billion types of cubes.
Literally.
Everybody, you can go to Cube Tutor. And look at the 1 billion different types of cubes that people have made. They range from like Pauper cubes, which is like all commons. There are like uncommon cubes. There are crazy powered cubes. There are unpowered cubes. There's like block cubes. Basically, any kind of cube, because in the Magic world, it doesn't just have six sides. It has as many sides as you want it to have.
I remember first learning about cube because cube is something that you can play on Magic Online, and they have things like the Holiday Cube, which is a power cube that what comes out around the holidays, and it feels like a present because you can play with a Black Lotus if you happen to have one.
Yeah.
And all sorts of power. But I didn't know what it meant, and so in my head, I was thinking of a bunch of cards, like literally in a cube, like they were in a box and they were pressed. I don't know what I thought, but it was not what it, that's not literally not what it's not a cube.
No, I mean, you might keep them in a box shaped like a cube.
Is that why it's called cube?
I don't know why it's called cube. Maybe the first one was kept in a square box. We'll just say cube. That it was.
Yeah, let's just say that's what it is.
It was a cube, which is how it got its name.
A literal cube.
So you can try building your own. Again, there are websites that can help you out. Like if you have no idea where to start, you can check out Cube Tutor, which has a whole bunch of different kinds. Or, you know, just like you can always build one that's like your favorite set recreated. So if you really loved Triple Innistrad or Triple Shadows Over Innistrad, you can make a cube that's modeled off of that.
Would you make a cons cube? Would that be your cube?
I would make a cons cube.
That would be
fun. It would be great.
We have an episode with Judge April King passed on our show. That was kind of like, I don't know, like a year ago maybe at this point. But she talks all about designing cubes because her cube is very epic, totally tricked out.
It's beautiful.
It kind of talks about where to start with when you're building your first cube. So you can go back in our archives, magictheamateurine.com, and we have a search function at the bottom of the page and just type in April or cube, and you'll probably find that episode. Megan wrote an article on dailymtg.com, which you can search for, which is like some really awesome cubes that people have made.
Oh, some sick cubes, man.
Oh, there's some an Innistrad really one cubes. That's like set up to be like a zombie killing case.
Yes.
A zombie vampire killing case, which is really kind of cool.
Yeah, it's so good. And that's awesome because it's something that you can get out. And if you like drafting, you can have the experience of drafting over and over again. But with, you know, with a set that you really love playing, or, you know, like a style or synergies that you really love playing.
And cube's never done, you know? Somebody's cube is never finished.
It is an ever-evolving creature. Darwinism embraces the cube.
Just keep finding new cards, putting them in, perfecting your cube as you go.
Just keep returning to that island and laying your turtle eggs.
If anybody out there has a turtle-based cube, send us a tweet. Next up, we have Tribal Wars.
Yeah, that's like, if you're like, oh man, do you know what's awesome about Kaladesh? Dwarves. So happy that they're back. And your friend is like, no man, do you know what the best one is? It's elves. Then hey, you can make different decks that only include cards with those tribal synergies in them, and then battle those. So it's kind of like a way to put parameters on. You can play it, you know, just like amongst a group of friends at a kitchen table with, like, if you just have a collection of cards that you've drafted from over the years that you're pulling from. It's a way to kind of like shape decks. If you're just kind of going like, any card from whenever, but it has to be a turtle.
Thriving Turtle, OP. I would love to make a gremlin deck. Unfortunately, there aren't enough gremlins out there for this to be something that can happen.
Yep.
So I'm looking at you, Wizards, for printing some more gremlins. Are you listening? Gremlins!
The rule on tribal decks is that 1/3 of the cards in the deck must have the creature type of whatever tribe that you have. And again, it's like a constructed format, so it's 60 card decks, maximum 4 of any one card.
If you are interested in seeing some tribal decks in action, you can go back and watch some of the community Super League that Megan and I played in earlier this year, where we had a week where we all had to build tribal decks.
Yeah.
And can you guess what tribe we brought?
I'm going to spoil it.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
We brought Hounds.
Hounds!
We brought a Hounds deck called All Dogs Go to Heaven, which was dogs and wrath effects. And then we played against the professor who brought Legacy Merfolk.
We are never going to forgive you for that, professor.
We got crushed. We got hardcore crushed.
Yeah. But that's the thing. You can build your deck like really silly like we did, or you can build it to just ruin everybody else's day. Yep. Whatever. Again, you want.
Maybe have a conversation with the people you're playing with about what kind of decks you're going to build.
Yeah. We thought about what was the other tribe we were considering? Man, it was a good one, too.
I don't remember.
Horror, that was
it. Oh, horrors. But that one got picked early, though.
Yeah, the girlfriend bracket, I believe, made a horror-themed deck, which
that had, like,
really
the Gitrog monster.
Yeah.
Real big frog.
So that's a fun format. I almost forgot about that format.
Yeah. Then there's also a format called Fat Stack,
which was my nickname in middle school.
Wow. You've really outgrown being a chubby gangster?
No, it was because I really liked pancakes.
Oh, sure enough.
So I don't know what Fat Stack is.
So you have two piles of cards that are communal libraries. One has spells, and then one has things that produce mana, like lands, and then also like other cards that produce mana, so players can draw from either stack when they have a draw. Yeah. So there you go.
That sounds,
you know, if you're playing with people who don't have a deck.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it.
It seems like a good way to sort of teach somebody the game too, mm-hmm. where they don't have to worry about getting mana screwed or flooded or whatever. You're just like, hey, if you think you want a land, you can draw land. If you think you want a creature or a spell, you can pick from that pile.
Yeah.
Seems like a nice way to do that.
Pretty cool.
And of course, this list is not exhaustive. You can always create your own format.
Yes, you can. One of the things that got me thinking about this was I was talking with someone at GP Atlanta who was talking about when they started playing, like their friend just had a dresser full of cards that they would build decks out of. And the rule was just that you could only have one deck at a time. So if you were going to build a new deck, you had to like deassemble the one that you had and put it back in the communal pile of cards. And then when they played, they would play essentially multiplayer, except you wouldn't attack anyone. You were always attacking the person to your left.
Oh, sure.
So it's like you were playing the person to your left, but they were playing somebody else in a weird way.
That's a good point, too, because in Commander or Conspiracy Draft, for instance, any kind of multiplayer game, you can amend your own rules. Commander does have a set series of rules, but you don't have to play by them. You can say, ooh, we're going to make up secret teams, and these teams can only attack each other in Commander. Or you have to, like Megan said, only attack the player to your left or whatever. Like, you can change it to suit you. That's the beauty of casual formats.
Which is to say, also, you can make up, the same thing goes for like the pool of cards that you guys are going from. Maybe you're just like, hey, let's build 60 card constructed decks, but we're only going to use cards from Time Spiral and M15.
Yes!
And just be like, hey, sure, what's that? What's that going to be like? We once did a rotisserie draft.
Yeah.
We did a modern one, which means that each card in the entire pool of modern cards can only be picked once. And it goes back and forth across the rows. So you have a spreadsheet and the names of however many people are doing the draft across the top. And you go left to right to left, picking cards.
Yeah, I remember that rotisserie draft. I ended up in Burn, I believe, mm-hmm. which is...
Oh, yeah, you did.
Gosh, that's funny. And you were in Black White Tokens?
Yeah.
Wow, how do I remember that? We never played our games out, which is kind of sad because...
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
So it was still like a really fun thing to do, though, even without playing the games. So if you have like friends who are kind of scattered all over the place, it could be a fun way to be like, hey, we're going to do a weird draft together, which we can do, you know, via a shared document.
And you learn a lot about the power of various cards in that format. Like, I was Googling cards in Modern. I was like, red burn cards, what are the best? Like, teach me. And I learned what a lot of cards did and how well or like how highly regarded they were in that format. Which was very helpful for the future.
And it's also cool because you can see what other people are drafting, so you can also like make sure that you draft hate cards towards the end against their various strategies.
Rough.
So yeah. And if you Google casual Magic formats, there's a big article on the Wizards website which details, it's literally something like over 20 casual formats. So if all of these, you were like, no, not quite me. No, that's not me just yet. Like picking a flavor of ice cream. Hey, go on there. Maybe that's where your flavor is waiting for you.
You could also just take a pack of cards, open it, and throw them all over the floor and
play 15 play card booster 15 pickup. Card
pickup.
If someone asks you if you want to play that, answer what you want, man. Like, I'm not going to dictate that to you.
It's your life. Fearless Magic Inventory Update.
Hey, everybody. Last week, we talked about our Fearless Magic inventories as popularized by Sam Stoddard in 2007. And I was just like, as I was thinking about it this past week, we also had a Magic the Prothering interview with Andrew Brown, which you should 100% go and listen to. It's super great. And at the end, he reverse interviews us.
Yes!
Which was unexpected, but super cool. And during that, I talked about how I really actually... he asked something along the lines of like, hey, do you guys ever want to be on the pro tour?
Yeah.
And my answer was like, honestly, I don't know if I think about it because I know like baseline, I'm not giving myself nearly enough opportunities to play competitive Magic. So it's like, if you're playing like 2 Grand Prix a year, like the answer is like, no, you're never going to be on the pro tour because you're not giving yourself enough opportunities to succeed. So I added that to my list of Fearless Magic inventory is I added, I don't give myself enough opportunities to play or succeed at competitive Magic.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that's a good one because you've got to really, besides making this list and checking yourself before you wreck yourself.
And checking it twice.
Oh, God.
Knowing which things on your list are naughty or nice.
We're past Halloween. It's time now, isn't it? Oh, God. Oh, God. Let us have Thanksgiving. Anyway, not only like making a
Canadians
list.
Canadians already had Thanksgiving, so.
Oh, yeah, they did. All right, Canadians, it's Christmas for you. I don't know what else to tell you. You got the short end of the stick on that one.
Yep.
Besides just making a list and being like, oh, these are things that I need to work on, it's good to have actionable items. So in that interview with Andrew Brown, you know, Megan kind of realized, oh, what I need to do is actually, if I want to put some of these things into practice and hit some of these goals that I've made for myself, I need to play more competitively more often. So that's the kind of the second step in making your list, trying to refine yourself and your play style based on what you've put down, and then taking action or giving yourself the best opportunities to be able to put these things into action that you want to improve on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so that actually kind of dovetails into just like the quick GP Dallas prep update, which is, yes, I'm still playing elves. I love it. It's a lot of fun. I don't know if it's going to be good in the meta just because it's very hard for me to like get a handle on that. But one of the things that I talked about in my inventory was I don't know metagames well enough.
Yeah.
And I don't ever sideboard well enough or have a good enough sideboard plan. So to work on those two things, this week leading up to the tournament, I've been spending time going through each of kind of like the top 20-ish deck lists in Modern and writing down cards from each one that I know are problem cards for me specifically in a matchup. And then writing down my sideboard plan for those matchups based on those problem cards and based on what I think they might be bringing in out of their sideboard.
So can you, for instance, can you look at a list that you've made about sideboarding?
Yes.
Between games?
Yes. You can't look at it during a game, but you can look at it. You can't look at notes that you've made prior to the game starting during a game of Magic.
Okay.
But between, you could look at a sideboard list.
Yeah, so that's a great idea to kind of help out if you're in a pinch and you're like, I can't memorize all this.
So those are my two actionable items that I'm working on.
So one of the things that I said, that I mentioned when we were doing our Fearless Magic inventory, things to improve on, was that like I play too fast. And then when we were talking to Andrew Brown, when he mentioned, oh, do you think you could make the Pro Tour or you'd ever want to be on the Pro Tour? And go and listen to the interview for what we said for the full thing. But something that I said was I play a lot of Magic, but I don't play it seriously enough. And I think part of what I meant when I said that is, that I'll go online and I'll just like throw away at like 5 games. Yeah. Like I don't take it. I'm just like, what am I doing? I'm going in there. I'm drafting. I'm like picking these cards and making like a stupid deck, which is fun to make a stupid deck sometimes. But like, you know, I sat there and I was doing this the other day. I was like, this is exactly what I was talking about. Like, I'm not paying enough attention to it. I'm playing like a derp head. I'm doing something else while I'm playing Magic Online. I'm not concentrating. So, like, I think doing that sometimes is totally fun. It's totally fine because you're just having fun or whatever. But if you want to get better, like, that was an example. And I stopped and realized as I was doing it, like, this is what... Why you're not getting better because you're just treating it like you're throwing a pair of dirty socks in the laundry instead of you're laying out the prom dress outfit. It's a really bad metaphor, but it's too late. I already said it. So yeah. What are you most terrified of facing in Dallas, Megan?
Grixis control. Any form of Grixis, actually. That deck wrecks me. Hardcore. Electrolyze, just a heck of a card.
Yeah.
Against me. Deal one damage to two different things. Yep, you can kill two creatures. It's just gonna happen.
What about, like, Dredge?
You know, I've played against it a lot online, and it is difficult and it's challenging, but I think... Like, I wouldn't, sitting down across from a Dredge player, I wouldn't be like, oh, crap. I definitely can't win this, which is kind of how I feel sitting down across from Grixis. It's like, it's a very slim margin that I have to win this. And Dredge, I'm like, do you know what? If I play well and I draw at least medium to medium well, like, I can do this. I can win it.
This is something I always think when I sit down across from players, is that their hand is always better than mine. I always think that, even, I mean, say I have a good hand, I don't think this, but if I have like a crappy hand and I'm like, should I mulligan this? I'm not sure. I'm like, I know my opponent's hand is just all gas. It's perfect.
Well, if
whatever.
It's all gas, that's bad.
Half gas, half what? Two thirds gas. Anyway, and like the truth of the matter is, sometimes their hand just stinks just as bad as mine.
Yeah, that's very true.
I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but like,
just because you have a bad hand doesn't mean you're gonna lose.
Yeah, that's it. Or just because you sit down at a matchup that's particularly bad for you doesn't mean you're gonna lose. Like, I think I get defeatist sometimes. Like when I was playing that mono white humans deck, if I sat down against a player that was playing Radiant Flames, for example, or I would just be like, oh well, I'm gonna lose this matchup or whatever. But that's like not the case. Like they might not ever draw their Radiant Flames or whatever spell you're worried about. You know, so just don't give up against the Grixis.
No.
The Grixis monster. Yeah, so there's video coverage. Tune in if you want to see Megan in a feature match. Fingers crossed.
I'll roll around shouting, don't do it!
I think it could happen.
Just lay on the floor until they let me sit at a normal table.
I'm not going to do it.
I'm not getting up.
You can't make me play this feature match. So while GP Dallas is this coming weekend, this past weekend, there are another series of GPs in Warsaw and Santiago playing Standard.
That's right. And do you know what? There were four copies of Black Green Delirium in the top eight at GP Santiago.
Boo.
So if you're going to a tournament and you're playing Standard, you better be prepared to beat it.
Yeah, Delirium's the real deal.
yep.
It can cast some Emrakuls and make you real sad. So
in Santiago, we also had a copy of White Blue Flash, a notorious spell queller situation going on.
Oh, boy.
We also had Blue-Red Fevered Visions.
Yeah.
Hello, Thermo Alchemist. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
That one's pretty sweet. I want to take a look at that deck list for a second.
And we had a Mardu Vehicles and a Blue-Red Colossus.
Yeah, Blue-Red Colossus. Remember Colossus decks from the PT. But yeah, this Fevered Visions deck. So a Fevered Visions deck has kind of sort of been around for a little while, like different variations of it.
Yeah, it happened at GP Portland in August. There were multiple ones.
Yes.
And the same one that went on in Europe at the same time as Portland had, I think, multiple copies of Fevered Visions in the top eight.
So I'm really happy to see this deck back just because it's really cool. It has a very unique sort of way of winning the game and unique playing unique cards like Fevered Visions. You know, it's only going to show up in a Fevered Visions deck. It's kind of not one of those cards you just put in the deck. You're like, well, that's Fevered Visions. I'll put that in there for some value. You got to build around it. So I'm happy to see this here, and you can check out Daily MTG if you want to see this list.
It has lots of cheap spells, so that obviously you're able to take really, you know, make really good use of all those extra cards that you're drawing off of Fevered Visions, while hopefully your opponent is getting them all stuck in hand, yeah, and then having, you know, Fevered Visions burn them every turn. And then it also looks to ping them with Thermo Alchemists and hit them with Storm Chaser Mage, our 1/3 hasty friend with prowess.
Yes.
And then it has, you know, some burn that can either go to creatures or a little bit that can go to the face.
And this is an old deck, I should also point out, in that most of the cards aren't from Kaladesh.
Very true.
But notably, the addition of Chandra, two of them.
Two Chandra, Torch of Defiance.
And we have a little bit better land situation. There's Spire Bluff Canal, which hangs out in this deck from Kaladesh as well. But that's it.
That's it.
It's like a zombie coming back. Can't keep Fevered Visions down.
Nope.
So yeah, that was neat to see. But yeah, Green Black Delirium, kind of the story of the weekend there for at Warsaw especially.
Six copies in the top eight at, wow, Warsaw. They also had a blue white flash in Warsaw and a red black aggro.
Yeah, yeah. Which of these standard decks would you want to play right now?
You know, I don't see control decks at the top tables.
Yeah.
Breaks my heart.
What do you call this Green Black Delirium? Would you call this just
It's a Delirium deck. Delirium's an archetype right now.
Grindy Grindfest / cast Emrakul, then you win.
Yeah, they're like Emrakul centric decks and graveyard centric decks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not getting too excited about playing Delirium deck for some reason.
What? You get to put so many things in your graveyard.
Yeah, your graveyard's essentially your another hand in this deck.
It's like you have a regular hand, then you have a second hand.
It'd be like if we had two hands as humans. Wouldn't that be weird? It
would. Downright crazy.
Unfortunately, we'll never know what that's like.
Drat.
Oh, well. We can pretend by playing some Delirium. But yeah, blue white flash, of course, still in there as well, mm-hmm, which we predicted would be the next Coco.
Well, looks like we might be wrong.
Maybe we're wrong.
Black green Delirium might be the next Coco.
What if every week we're like, this is the next Coco? If that happens, what actually is happening is that the format is good.
Yeah, but there's not a Coco.
So
it's great.
Fingers crossed for that.
Oh.
Draft update! Hey, we haven't talked about draft in a long time on this show, which is kind of surprising because...
Pretty crazy.
Drafts are jam.
Yeah. I played a green-white draft deck the other day that, no removal spells. I had no removal in this deck.
Who needs it?
Easy 3-0. but I had Master Trinketeer, which is the one that you can pay 4 to make a servo, but it gives all of your servos and thopters +1/+1. So I would just pay 4 mana and make a 2/2. And I remember, there was a game where my opponent couldn't remove this Master Trinketeer, and I flooded so hard, but I flooded to the point where
Doesn't
I was
matter.
Making 3 servos a turn.
Yes.
So I was making 6 power of creatures every turn.
Yes.
And I, still just ended up winning that game. That one was a lot of fun and very absurd. That card was just completely silly.
Yeah, we talked about on the show how in this format, Flood kind of seems to be a little more damaging because there's not effects that allow you to use your mana up if you just have nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. Like we could transform werewolves in the last set, or Megamorph. It was even an instance of this. So what Master Trinketeer does in this situation is doesn't care. Yes.
It is a rare, so
yeah.
It is a rare that doesn't care about Flood.
This rare don't care.
Let's go to town, man.
Yeah, so some other ways people have been combating the kind of like flood problem in this format is by drafting super aggressive decks that only run 14 or 15 lands.
Yeah, I have seen some of those. The ones that are like Thriving Grubs, Thriving Grubs, Thriving Grubs, Thriving Grubs, Thriving Grubs, Renegade Freighter.
Yep, I mean, and honestly, that's all you need. I've tried to draft this deck, but I just end up with a lot of grubs and no freighters.
Oh, man. Renegade Freighter is quite a card. I had a black-red aggro deck that I ended up losing to another black-red aggro deck.
Yep.
But the other two games were just like, again, like no contest. I would just be like, turn two, a creature, turn three, Renegade Freighter.
You're dead.
And then like, if you crew it, even on turn four, you're attacking them with a 5/4. It's absurd.
It's sick.
It's really good.
It should be illegal.
Yeah, man.
Renegade Freighters, it's kind of like you have to, if you see one, you have
just
to take it.
Take it.
You have
it's
to take it.
It's good in any deck.
Yeah.
You can play, I would play it in a control deck and just be like, yep, sure, this is my Renegade Freighter in control.
It's fine. It's you have to have great. A way to win.
Yep. It's a great way.
But like what you just said there, where you said I was playing against another red-black aggressive deck, that's the thing that we're now running into in leagues.
Yeah.
So they've been around for a while, these draft leagues, which are like an enormous hit on Magic Online,
mm-hmm.
where you're kind of playing, as they say, cross-pod, but you're getting paired up immediately between rounds, so you have to sit around and wait.
Nice. I also have found, and people were talking about this, how it leads to a dynamic when you're drafting of you're being a little bit more helpful.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to hate draft because you're not going to have to play against that card.
Yeah.
So you're going to keep passing it. So if you open a blue bomb, but you're not in blue and someone three seats down is, they're going to have a better shot of getting that card if no one else is in blue, if they've been drafting the table correctly, because no one's going to hate away that card.
Yeah. It's going to be it's a different kind of universe to live in, because not only are you even more disincentivized to stop hate draft, but you are playing against sometimes the mirror match, which is kind of weird,
crazy,
and you have absolutely no idea what your opponent could have
no
in their
idea
deck. So it's kind
not
of more like
a clue
sealed in that way a little bit. Mm-hmm. You gotta expect everything, you know?
You have a list on this list of interesting cards, Key to the City.
Yes.
And I have to say, I played this
don't die.
I'm not. Okay. I played that in an aggressive deck. Great card.
Yeah, Key to the City is just good.
It's a good card.
And like, if you would have asked me that at the start of the format, oh, what is Key to the City good? I would have looked at it and been like, I don't
know. Probably not.
Fine.
You can make it so that something can't be blocked.
Yeah. And then you get to draw
cards. And then you get to
cards.
Draw cards. It's
sweet.
Great.
Yeah, Key to the City is the key to my heart right now. Great card. And we've been talking too about, we've mentioned a few times on the show that while you can draft just like Thriving Grubs, a Pain Train, aggressive deck and get in there, you can also hang back and do silly things with like Panharmonicon or the modules, mm-hmm. which today I witnessed somebody get all three modules in a game. They assembled the combo. It was great. And made some huge creatures, which then win. So the format I think is pretty healthy. It seems really fun. I haven't gotten bored of playing it yet.
No.
Which is like a super good sign. There's still things I want to do and I haven't done yet, you know, in my life. I still got things on my Kaladesh bucket list, including.
You gotta check them off before you Kaladesh die.
I have never had a vehicle crew another vehicle.
But why would you?
I don't
you
know.
Have one better vehicle and you but you only have one creature, one vehicle and another vehicle, and like the creature is too small
to
crew
the
biggest
other one.
Vehicle. So you have to crew it and then crew it.
Yeah.
All right, I'll buy it.
I wanna make the vehicle turducken, as it were.
Yeah.
And that's all. I have no which is
fair
like
enough.
I can probably do that. I just need several vehicles in my deck. But the thing with vehicles is that people have come down off of a lot of them. Not literally, because they're cards. But so like vehicles that have a crew cost of three or more, notably, are kind of ones that people have been like, well, we're not super excited about those.
No.
But two, crew of two is where it's at. So you've got crew like one and under, of course, Sky Skiff and Smuggler's Copter, and then the Pain Train, which is only two. And then, I don't know, there's some other ones. But
yeah.
Crew three, kind of, some people are a little off it.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a lot. That's like a real creature sometimes.
You have to say, get in that car, buddy.
Yeah.
Put on a seatbelt.
You know, you need a booster seat.
I was watching Children of the Corn yesterday, uh-huh. and they were not wearing their seatbelts in that car.
Of course not.
It was the 70s! People didn't have gas! There was a war! And nobody was wearing their seatbelts because life was not as precious as it is today. I don't know. It was just not a thing. It was just like so yeah. weird. It took me out of the movie. All I could do was sit there and be like, put your seatbelt on for the love of God. And then, of course, they run in. They like crash into somebody and they get... should have been wearing the seatbelt.
Yeah.
I get it's a horror movie, but I don't think that was the part I was supposed to be scared of.
Wear your seatbelts, PSA.
Flavor Text Theater presents Flavor Text Theater, the original.
That's right. Maria is going to crack this Kaladesh booster. She can read only sentences on the cards.
That's it.
While we try and carry on a normal... somewhat normal conversation.
Well, let's just hope there's some good flavor text on these buddies. And yeah. by the way, all these cards that we cracked going into the pile for our Patreon giveaway.
That's right. Our month. New one for November.
Yep.
Because we have some October winners. Windows. We have some October windows. We have some October winners, which we will announce at the end of the show.
October Windows, by the way, is my new folk album.
Yeah.
You can listen to it. It's mostly sad.
I won't be.
Songs with one out of tune guitar.
I won't be listening.
October Windows.
Okay.
on Bandcamp.
All right.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Hi. Can I help you find something in this grocery store?
The chasm of years and worlds collapsed.
Does that just mean that you're out of milk? Because I know that sometimes, you know, if I need milk and I don't have any, I feel like the world is falling apart.
A failure is simply another opportunity for improvement.
Are you saying that I'm not doing a good job right now? I asked you what you needed and then I like tried to relate to you. So like, if I'm not doing a good job, like, why not?
All trouble.
I am not causing trouble. I'm just trying to help you. I work at this grocery store.
What are the odds the two would occur in the same day?
The two what? Am I going to get fired? Cheryl got fired this morning. Does that mean, are you saying that I'm going to get fired? Can you see the future?
Everything has an off switch.
Am I going to get murdered? Was Cheryl murdered? Did they fire her by murdering her?
Yesterday's marvels are today's antiques.
Oh my God. I did not expect the grocery industry to be so cutthroat. Are you like an outside person that they bring in to fire people?
Every angle.
What does that mean? You find every angle to get us fired on? What? Tell me I'm fired. Just don't murder me.
It's nothing against you.
Yeah, but it really, because it feels personal. It feels like you're firing me for a personal reason and a reason why I'm personally not good.
It was never really my thing.
Firing or grocery shopping? Which one? I just wanted to help you find milk.
Part feline, part primate.
Is that what you are?
Just wait until you see what I come up with next.
Oh, God. Are you like a crazy scientist? Are you going to crazy scientist murder me?
Crew 2. They're rare from that pack, by the way. Gear per orrery.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't read this flavor text because... Well, no, I did. I said every angle.
Oh.
Yeah, that was as far as I got because otherwise it made no sense. Going into the pile.
Going into the pile for November. Which, by the way, we've got our winners for October.
Yes.
So the person who will be winning all of the different boosters that we opened during the month of October, as well as some sweet classic art tokens swag,
yeah.
a playmat and playmat bag, Maria.
So,
who's the lucky person?
The lucky winner for all time. So this is a patron who has been pledging. So it could have been from the very start that we started it or up until yep. now is Michael Hansen from Wisconsin. Michael!
Michael Hansen, come on down.
Come on down. You're our big winner.
Michael, so. Please make sure that your information is updated in Patreon, or if it's not, send us a message.
So yeah, Michael is the all-time winner, and then we have our monthly winner, which is somebody who has just joined and become a member of the Less Than 1% Club this very month, meaning October, and that winner is Megan C.
Yay!
Megan C.
Nice name.
Yeah.
And if you don't have information in Patreon, again, please shoot us a message letting us know where we should send your sick swag. And if you would like an opportunity to win great prizes like this or others, you can become a sponsor at patreon.com/mtacast. In addition to that, there's just different rewards that you get at different levels, including soon-to-be forthcoming magnetic poetry.
Oh, I'm so excited for
sheets,
this.
Sheets, which will be MTACast-specific magnetic poetry, playmats, and more. And also, you just help us make this show happen every week.
Yeah, and Megan C., we don't have your address, so specifically, you do need to contact us either through Patreon, just send us a little message, or through our website, just shoot us an email. Whatever you want, because we want to send you some sweet prizes. So thank you for becoming members. Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us, as you always do, whether you're in your car, on the toilet, in the tub, mowing the lawn, shoveling the snow, from your space helicopter, or perhaps you're listening to us from the future with a device that allows you to listen to the past. It's called...
Wait, isn't that everything?
It's
isn't
called
that just all recorded audio is technically listening to the past?
What you're doing right now. That's weird. Jeez. When you think about it.
Yeah, it's a little spooky.
I wonder if we've ever been listened to on the space station.
Spooky.
Halloween's still hanging around. Yeah, if you're an astronaut in a space program in any country, mm-hmm. consider bringing us along with you to the space station.
That's right.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be super sweet. Remember to check out cardkingdom.com/mtacast for all of your magic product needs. And a giant thank you to Card Kingdom for sponsoring the show and helping make it happen. Just to like those of you who are patrons, thank you so much as well again. You help us keep this light on, literally.
This
there's a light over here that's on. this camera rolling.
Yep.
These faces talking.
This computer powered, this soundboard doing its thing.
This table standing on its legs.
This ground, this floor that we're on not collapsing.
Those pictures hanging on the wall.
Yep. All of those things you've done.
And they would not be possible without you. You can contact us at magictheamateuring@gmail.com. Send us a message via the website, magictheamateuring.com, where you can also pick up sick swag like playmats and t-shirts. Send us a tweet at MTACast on Twitter and listen to the podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play. On the internet, in general, always on our website.
Yeah, and remember, episode 200, we're getting up there.
That's
so
right.
Get hyped. Hyped? Get hyped.
Now that you made it to the end of this episode, it's only 2 episodes away.
Buddy.